Grace, mercy, and peace are yours this day from God our Father through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said, I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. This is our text in the holy and blessed name of Jesus. Amen. Now, contrary to popular thought, now I know it's popular, but it isn't true. It isn't true to say that the Christian life is simply a hedge against an uncomfortable future, an eternity in hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. The fact is, the Christian life begins the moment of conversion, when God reaches down into this world and saves a poor, condemned creature from all his wrath. Now, the wicked and rebellious heart of man, as he comes forth from the womb, simply refuses to acknowledge God, that he is and always has been the ruler and king of all things. So, man makes war against God. Man misuses every good gift which God bestows. But through the gospel that reaches your ears, through the waters of holy baptism that have touched your skin, God has come to you in his grace and his mercy to transform your heart, to cause you to recognize him as the sovereign ruler of all things. Now, because of this, the Christian, after he has been truly converted, after the love of Christ glows brightly in his heart, the true Christian realizes and understands he's a citizen of a different kingdom. The one who has been truly reborn in Christ is no longer a son of this world. He knows he's attached to a people. He has a family, a community. He belongs to a nation of the earth. He still has a tribe, a language. He still lives in a culture. These things don't cease, but we no longer belong to these things. They're realities in our lives, to be sure, but they are not our identity any longer. Likewise, God may place into the hands of a Christian a plot of land, a house to live in, possessions, and all that he has. But these things don't belong to the Christian. They are, in fact, possessions of the Lord of the universe, so that the cattle on 1,000 hills, along with the cattle in the paddock next door, are all his. The storehouses of the deep, as well as the food in your pantry, the gold and the minerals that are buried in the depths of the earth, as well as the money stored in your 401k, your bank account, your pension, and yes, even the cash stuffed into your mattress. It all belongs to him. He has put you in charge of it for this time to manage it, to use it according to his will and his purposes. Now, as we've already said, the Christian has been saved from this wicked and adulterous generation, so that when everything is finally swept away, the Christian will rule and reign with Christ over all things. What Luther declares is true for the Christian right now. The Christian is the most free, Lord of all, and subject to none except God alone. Having been recreated in Christ and doing those works which God prepared in advance for the Christian to walk in, he's not ruled or mastered by anything in this world, because the Christian has been brought out of darkness into the light of Christ. The Christian has been made an heir, a citizen of the eternal kingdom of God. And now Christ reigns in the heart of the Christian through faith, so that the will that is inside, the desire is to do the good pleasure of God, not according to our own whims and desires of our sinful flesh, but according to God's word and his desires. To do according to our desires would be mismanagement. Now, because of this new identity that the Christian has, because he has been converted to Christ, because the Spirit of God now dwells within him, when the Christian is at home at the kitchen table eating bread, when he toils with his hands out in the field, when he loves his wife, when he raises his children, when he cares for his aging parents, whatever the Christian does in the midst of this life, all of it is kingdom work. Whether we're feeding the livestock, planting corn, harvesting wheat, all of it is kingdom work. Buying and selling is kingdom work. Sowing and reaping is kingdom work. All of it, when done by a Christian, is work in the kingdom of Christ. Work, play, learning, teaching, speaking, listening. When we lie down, when we rise, we are managing the resources that God has put into our hands. The time we spend watching TV or staring at our phone, the conversations we have with our spouse, our neighbors, our children, our friends. When we use some of God's money to shop at the grocery store, when we spend some of God's time talking with our neighbors at the gas station or on the coffee pot, when we drive around the back roads and check out our neighbors' crops, every moment, every dime, every breath, every step, belong to the Almighty God of heaven and earth. Now, to the old Adam, this is a pretty heavy weight to bear. Every moment of our lives is spent standing in the sight of God. He doesn't need to hear from others about how we might have mismanaged what he has given to us. He already knows. Typically, the only one who doesn't know and understand how badly they've mismanaged everything in their life is us. Very often, we're blinded by desire. We're blinded by the sin of our flesh that leads us to squander the great things that God has given us to manage for his own use and his own purposes. And when we finally come to our senses, when we see that we have indeed left the family business behind, and like the prodigal, taken the great inheritance of all the worldly possessions that God has for us, squandering them in reckless living, pursuing our own pleasure and our own desires rather than what God would have us to do, the right thing to do is simply repent. Don't try to justify yourself. Don't try to argue with the judgment of God over your sin. That's foolishness. If we say we have no sin, we deceive only ourselves. The truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, depicted by the Father in that parable of the prodigal son, waiting for us to return, waiting to restore to us what we've left behind. He bids that the robe of Christ's righteousness is placed once again on our shoulders. He welcomes us home as his son. He puts the ring back on our finger, and he sets before us the feast of fellowship and forgiveness. Of course, it's much more than a restoration to the family. It's restoration to the kingdom of God. What was dead is made alive once again. The spiritual death that occurred when we abandoned our post and went to live for ourselves, doing things that we wanted to do rather than putting God's resources to his use. All of that is behind. And now God restores you once again to new life in Christ, separating you from your sin and breathing into you once more his life-giving spirit, he puts the signet on your hand and welcomes you home. But make no mistake, there will come a day, a specific time, when finally God will take the management away from you. There will be a time when the books need to be closed. The Lord summons you out of your management, and on that day you will turn in the account of your management. And at that point, you will either be home, in the fold once again, part of the family business, willing and doing the good pleasure of the Lord, using his resources in light of his plans and his purposes. Or at that moment, you will be out in the field schlepping pea pods for the pigs. Those who abandon the family and squander the family fortune, using their money and possessions on themselves, not having an eye to the eternal welfare of their neighbor, those who live for the day, what's the phrase? Seize the day. And like the foolish landowner, simply build barns to store their earthly wealth so that they can take it easy and kind of lay back and rest for a while. They will find themselves in that day friendless, without help, without comfort, and without peace. When the stewardship is taken from them, when they close their eyes in the sleep of death, they will remain out in the field, lying next to the empty trough, surrounded by a group of very hungry pigs. Let the hearer understand. But if you remain in the faith, and if you remain faithful with the little bit that God has given you here, if God himself remains at work in you to will and to do according to his good pleasure, if you continue managing the Lord's resources will, then the Lord will welcome you, and he will say to you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And our only response in that moment can be, "I have only done what is my duty." But the Lord will reward you nonetheless, and he will say to you, "You have been faithful in little, I will place you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." And when you enter, you will see. You will see those whose lives were touched by Christ with what you have done, with what the Lord has given to you here on earth. No matter how small it seems in this life, it will reap an eternal reward. The speaking of God's word into the ear of your neighbor, the support of the Lord's ministry in your midst, the raising of your children in the faith, the use of your time, your talents, and your resources, with an eye firmly fixed to the eternal welfare of others, never returns empty or void. Through our faithful use, our diligent application to the principle that we are simply stewards, we are managers of all that we have, and it is to be used for God's eternal purposes. In laying out that principle and living according to it, God himself is at work through you. And he raises up new believers. He keeps and preserves the saints who are here on earth. He provides pastors and churches for people to attend, to hear God's word and receive his mercy and grace. And he makes you to be true brothers in Christ, loving and caring for one another, not just here and now, but for all eternity. The mammon of unrighteousness can be put to good use for the work of the kingdom. And when it is, you will find yourself welcomed into that eternal dwelling by the many friends, in fact, the many brothers, whose eternity was impacted by your stewardship. You will see that you have made friends in Christ Jesus, and you will see the many who God, working through you, rescued out of this wicked and perverse generation. And they will be your friends and your neighbors for all eternity. Therefore, make eternal friends for yourselves by the means of unrighteous wealth, using everything God has placed into your hands with your eye fixed on the eternal mercy and grace that God desires to bestow upon you and upon all people, so that when all of this falls down, when all of this fails and is burned by fire, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings in the holy and blessed name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and keep your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We rise this morning to sing our offertory found on the bottom of page 159.